Hello and welcome to the Wormhole. My name is Jamie Birchall, and you are listening to and are watching our podcast called Wormhole Pinball Presents. Today I'm joined by Jennifer Ruper. Hello. Jennifer, Jen, you are a social media creator, competitive pinball player. Welcome to the Wormhole virtually, Jen.
I'm so excited to be here. You have no idea.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. It's so great that you said yes, and I really, really appreciate it. I really love following you, especially on TikTok.
Thank you.
And that's fairly new for you, right?
So I joined TikTok in 2020.
Okay.
So it's been about 3 years. After much like, you know, everyone's like, oh, TikTok's great. And I'm like, I'm never going to do it. And then, you know, 2020 hit for everybody and I was at home. I'm like, all right, well, I might as well. And so I joined on there and, you know, have been not doing it every day ever since, but usually I'm on there pretty regularly.
So you kind of do like shorts on YouTube at Pinball Gen and then maybe some TikToks on TikTok at J_Roop.
Yeah, so I actually started doing shorts. So, like, my content creating story is kind of all over the place.
Great. No, I don't mind. Let's go to it.
Yeah, if you want me to get into that. So,
yeah, please.
I actually, before I started doing pinball, I had a blog. If those are still a thing nowadays,
yeah.
I'm not sure. So, I had a blog, like, way back in the day where I blogged about my art, like, stuff that I did. And it was great. Like, I would, you know, make tutorials of the things that I was doing, and I would post them. Like, this was pre-Instagram. So, it was, yeah, it was pre-Instagram. And then Instagram started kind of at the same time I was doing that. So, I was posting a lot of that stuff on Instagram. And, you know, flash forward a couple of years, I got a little out of art and started, you know, got into pinball. So I was doing pinball a lot. I was posting it on Instagram, just mainly like posting pictures and things like that. And then I filmed some stuff on YouTube. I started a YouTube channel when I moved to Columbus, maybe like 8 years ago. So I like filmed my move to Columbus, which since I have taken down because those videos are like, ugh, what was I thinking?
That can happen.
Yeah. We've all been there as content creators, probably. And I kind of like resurged the, you know, my YouTube a little bit by posting again some more like DIY stuff. Like, cause that's my background. What I really have done for a long time is like arts and crafts. And then in, you know, end of 2019, I got an idea because that's when I really started to like get into pinball was like, oh, it'd be really great if I, you know, start to document my pinball travel. So I was going to do like a little bit longer form content, you know, 15, 20 minute videos of all the places that I went to because I traveled a lot for work. I traveled a lot, not at that time for pinball, but like, you know, let me show my local places and whatnot. Kind of similar to what like a Moto did, but
sure.
More like local. And I was traveling to Michigan for work. I went to, if you've heard of it, Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum.
I've heard of it. Yeah. It's
really great spot.
Amazing. Yeah.
I filmed all of my content there. I was, you know, I got home from work, I was editing it. And then like literally the next week after I posted it, the world shut down. So I was like, well,
right.
All right, well, that's going to have to make me pivot what I wanted to do. So then I ended up pivoting to doing similar to this, like interviewing players, interviewing like homebrewers, like interviewing a lot of the people that I knew or like recommendations from people in the community. And that was really fun. It really wasn't like what I wanted to do. And so that's when I joined around that time after I had finished my first season was when I joined TikTok. And I really enjoyed doing the short form content. So like, you know, 10 to 1 minute videos of just like, here's like a pinball tip or here's like a funny thing that, you know, we all see within the community that like, we know what happens, but, you know, let's just make fun of it instead of like complain about it. And so I started doing those while also doing kind of like other things. Like I was really, for a lack of better terms, trying to find my TikTok voice, which I'm still doing because I don't really know what I'm doing on it. And once I started to sticking to more just the pinball content was when, you know, I saw my audience really grow. So I really stuck to that for, you know, a long time. And by all means, I'm not like the biggest creator in the world, but you know, that I hate saying this, but I'm going to say it. I was one of the original, you know, I was not the original, but I was one of the first people on TikTok that were really making pinball content. So there wasn't a lot out there. So that's why I really liked doing things. And, you know, before we started this, you talked about what you did for a living. I'm a facilitator for a living. So like, I love teaching. I love instructing. Like, I love helping other people, you know, reach what I like to call that aha moment of, oh my gosh, like I never, you know, knew that, or I never thought of it that way. And so like, I enjoyed making those videos making these videos to help people either enjoy the hobby more or become better players. And so that kind of translated into, you know, once with the whole thing of like, you know, after TikTok started taking off, Instagram did Reels. So I mainly posted on TikTok and then would just post my Reels on Instagram and not really create the Reels on Instagram. So they kind of like cross over, you know, everything.
We're doing like the opposite.
Okay.
Because Donovan, my boy Donovan, who is my co-host on the streams, he really loved those. And he's a video crazy guy. So he has been posting more on the Reels and then just posting them on TikTok. So we haven't really made a lot of presence on TikTok. And can you pinpoint a post on TikTok that kind of blew up?
So the one I do remember, the one that, if you want to call it going viral,
not many of us, right?
So yeah, I would say the one that, the one that went viral for me was, the first time I went to the VFW, I filmed myself playing Orbiter One. And I framed it as, this is the only, like in the video, I was like, this is the only pinball that you can do like a reverse flip on because of the way that Playfield Orbiter One was on. And then I talked about like why that happens on Orbiter One. It's maybe again, like a 60-second video. And I think it got like 117,000 views. So that was the first time I'd ever been like, you know, I like posted the video and I woke up in the morning and I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah,
like,
cool. Remind me later to talk about these places, 'cause I really want to talk about.
Yeah. That's what I love showcasing too. Whenever I make videos is I love showcasing places that I've been to because you know, may not ever heard of them or didn't know they were there. And I love, you know, promoting like, hey, this place is really awesome. Like, go here. And, you know, not because I was paid to do that, because I went there and had a really great time.
Let's talk about it. You know, VFW, how many times a year is it open? Like 3 or 4 times a year?
Two. They're open twice a year. Yeah.
So that's got to be on my list. So 2024 and 2025 are turning up to be a lot of money I'm spending on pinball.
driving every year for me.
Going places. Because I've already committed. My wife's like, didn't you just commit to going to Germany and hanging out with JDL Pinball, Jim and Dina?
I heard that too.
Oh, yeah. And now I'm going to Germany and apparently going to the expo in Chicago. And now
Expo's a good one.
I have TPF, which we actually, the Wormhole actually streams TPF.
Okay.
So we stream the tournaments, Wizards, Classics, and Bells, the women's championship. So, I'm always going to be a TPF as long as they keep inviting me back.
And that's kind of like, as a Midwesterner, that's kind of in your back door. Like, I still know it's like a six hour drive.
I moved back from the city. I was down south in Houston. So I moved back to the city. And yeah, it's 4.5 hours. I can live.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, I keep committing myself. But boy, that VFW, when that's open one day, I would love to go there, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm really lucky because I'm 3 hours away from the VFW and I do, you know, in May, they wanted to help to promote the VFW a little bit more. And I was really lucky to be able to be invited to go there, and get, you know, a tour of all of the machines that they had and help to kind of like promote, like, hey, we want more people to like come out and hang out. Because it is something that does sell out every single year. 'Cause there are a limited amount of tickets to get into the VFW. And there's also recently, and I haven't had the opportunity to go, they've actually started having tournaments at their, either before the show or right after the show.
Oh, that's brilliant, right?
Which is really great. Yeah. And again, it's a limited number of people, as most pinball tournaments are, but, you know, to help them, you know, be able to get more awareness to it, they did invite me out there, and I felt very lucky and very grateful.
And where is that located, just so that people will know?
Yeah, the VFW is in Ann Arbor. So it is the Vintage Flipper Vintage Flipper World is what it's called. And it's located a little bit outside of Ann Arbor, not like, you know, right in downtown where like Pinball Pete's is, but like still, again, from, you know, Detroit metropolitan area.
Okay.
If you're thinking about it that way. So, yeah.
So where else are you traveling in 2024?
Oh, absolutely, for sure. So actually, San Antonio, I am signed up for the San Antonio tournament. I'm hoping to get down there. Unfortunately, with work, I might have a conflict with that in February. So I haven't booked all of my accommodations
so
for
that
yet.
So that is the San Antonio tournament. Are you going to What's Brewing?
So there, it's the women's tournament that I believe Lauren and I'm really sorry, somebody else is organizing. So,
we'll that find out.
I think is in, I actually think it's somewhere in downtown. It might be at the convention center. I haven't been to What's Brewing yet.
Well, that's on my list too. So I've already committed to that. Apparently I'm going to.
Yeah. What's Brewing's on my list to go to.
I've already told Hope. A love and them that I'm going, so I have to.
I've heard great things about What's Brewing, so yeah, that was one that I haven't in Texas. I haven't been able to go to yet. Okay. But for pinball travels, so San Antonio's a maybe. I always get to Expo because I love Chicago. I love Expo. I've been going since 19. Always look forward to that one. Cincinnati's always one that I look forward to. TPF, I would like to get back to because I really did enjoy TPF. I had a really great time. It was really fun there, especially the fact that it's not like in the summertime because I don't do well in the heat.
No.
So it was like April is like a real good time to go there. I'm really excited because I happen to have a trip to Phoenix in March where I get to go to Electric Bat Arcade for the first time. As much as I have like been trying to get there over the past 2 years, so 3 years, like for that matter. So I'm going there. But really a lot of the times I try and just plan it like month by month or, you know, unless I know it's a bigger travel, because being in the Midwest, a lot of the places that I can go to, I usually just end up being like, I'll just drive, like, you know, but bigger
so
ones
get
like
you to Houston,
Texas.
Obviously, I'm a little bit of an ambassador for the city of pinball. Not really. I'm not a paid spokesman. But what I will tell you is not only do we have great barcades throughout Houston, between Einstein's and Poison Girl and even Little Dippers now, we have really great the Wormhole. I mean, we have the Wormhole.
Yeah.
And so we have 23 machines here. We have a collection of over 200. For anyone's new that's listening, and we do tournaments here, so these machines get banged on, and our techs are coming tonight. They're waiting outside so I can do this interview. Not literally, but
I'm sorry to hold you up.
They're told not to come in until Jamie is done because. But we have the state championships here at the end of January, so they have to be perfect. You know, when Robert Byers comes in, we don't want any worries about the machines. He just, you know, play hard. And so we are building a museum.
That's exciting.
It's super exciting. It'll be built in 2025. The building is already architecture plans and all these things are going into
that's
it.
That's so cool.
That'll hold about 120 machines, and they'll be awesome. Rare. They won't be all, you know, newer machines. I would say at least 100 of them will be rare. Some of them Italian, and
like the Zacharias.
Yeah, it's a really cool Zachariah. Yeah. We just unboxed a Sonic. What was it called? It's like a getaway game.
Okay.
That I've never seen before. I don't even know. It's like a chase scene. Who knows? And that might come to the Wormhole for a little bit. And then we just put Andromeda here.
Yep.
And then this is a Cosmic Princess, which is really pretty. And that's a beautiful old, that's an actually a Stern Australian game, which is pretty rare.
Oh.
Well, Cosmic Princess is beautiful. And then there's a bunch down here. And then we have a labyrinth, the 26th labyrinth. And
Nice.
we actually have a
I still haven't gotten to play that one yet.
Oh, you're going to love
Yeah.
it. And I'm not a paid spokesman for that either. And they're based out of Houston, you know.
Yes.
And so I know all the most of, not all the people that work for Barrels of Fun, and they're amazing. So again, not paid spokesman, but
Yeah.
No, but the museum's going to be really great. I think it's going to showcase not only their collection, Tim and John's, but also just our passion for pinball and what we're trying
Yeah.
to do.
Yeah, and that's why I like the VFW if anybody has an opportunity to get to go up there, because again, it's just games that you don't see.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know how many games, but there's a huge selection of like the Zacharias, the Wedgeheads, the old EMs, like things that you just don't see. And like those are the ones, like, especially if I'm traveling, like I want to see that. Like I can go down to my barcade and, you know, play a Godzilla any
sure.
day of the week. But like, you know, like you said, to see what the princess, I've never heard of that. I've never seen it. Like
yeah.
That's what draws me to locations when I'm looking to go somewhere different. Just, you know, I like to check out the local scene, but if I'm like, oh, there's a labyrinth there. Yeah. I'm going to go there. Cause you don't see that, you know, hardly.
Absolutely.
Anywhere.
You know, we're open 3 days a month and it's for tournaments. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are available to rent, but we are a club that's open 3 days a month for tournaments. And then you can come here and you can play this trailer, which is incredible game, by the way. It is so stupid. And the play field is the trucker's arm.
Oh,
and
really?
The tattoo has dots on it. And it's Spanish, right? And it's crazy. Some of the games that there's an Io Moon coming. I shouldn't be telling anybody.
Okay.
Because there's like four people in the world that have played this game, Io Moon, and is a total ripoff of 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Okay.
It's a total Spanish ripoff of this movie. And they play the music and everything, but it's a little beat up. So we've got a lot of work to do. So but that'll be eventually coming to the wormhole. And I think I'm number two in the entire world on Pindigo on Io Moon. So one of my favorite things to do is to play these rare games when they come in from Italy. Tim has a distributor that and a company that he works with in Italy that come in. And when they go to Tim's house and John's house, I play them. And then I put it on Pindigo. And I'm like the third person in the world that's ever played this game. And I geek out on it. And I'm number one and number two. And the only one who's number one is a guy named Troy who got to play it in the shed before I did. So anyway.
Okay.
See, he's an American.
You got to step up your game. You got to step up your game, Jamie.
It's a hard pinball machine. It's goofy. But it's a total ripoff.
I love a goofy game, though. That's like, I think there's like a really goofy, like, Con Air spin, like, ripoff that I don't remember. I played it at Pincinnati last year. And I remember talking to my friends and I was like, is this supposed to be Con Air? And they're like, yes. And I don't remember what the name of the game is. But I remember it being like a real wacky, like, interesting play field. And I love
those.
Like,
yeah, I like them. They make me laugh.
Yep.
You know, even when Gottlieb went a little crazy towards the end of their run with some of their spring break games or whoever made that and some of the things. Look, I love pinball. It's funny. What are
we all know? Do.
And I think the museum is going to be really cool. And it's going to showcase some of these really rare ones. So that'll be really fun. So, let's talk equipment because I geek out on equipment.
Yeah.
Did you have to buy like special cameras when you started this? Did you buy any? What'd you get?
So I dabbled in like whether or not I wanted to stream on Twitch. So I did buy like cameras and stands and things to do like that. But you're going to be so disappointed because everything is filmed on my phone.
No, it's not disappointed. It's complete and utter jealousy, Jen.
Yeah, literally all of the videos the videos on my TikTok for the most part are all filmed on my phone. If you go to my YouTube, where I post, like, again, a little bit more longer form content, I do have a vlogging camera that I use.
Okay.
But it's a combination of the footage for that I take on my phone and the footage that I take on my vlogging camera, because I still have a little bit of, like, you know, content creator shyness, where I feel really weird if I'm in public with my camera. But, like, all right, I'll film with my phone all day. And, like, right, it takes pretty much, like, the same quality. So it's a combination of the both of those. And sometimes if I'm feeling a little ambitious, I'll, you know, take one of my YouTube videos and, like, edit it on my computer down to post on my TikTok. But for the most part, everything is, I usually will film and edit within the TikTok app and, you know, be on its merry way.
Yeah, my head shaking here is complete and utter jealousy. as a pinball competitive streamer, the amount of crap we have to get, and to make sure that mine is getting to the level, because we joke, my first few were terrible. I had terrible, it just wasn't good enough, right? And so now we're 3 years in and we're just getting better and better at it. And
yeah,
there's really good ones out there. I mean, Fox Cities and IE. And
yeah,
I love the guys at JDL. They're my faves.
Yeah.
So they have just upped their game so much that I just try to copy everything that they're trying to do.
And like, I can understand that from, you know, I understand that because I feel the same way too. Like when I do an IDC pity videos, like I know you've had Aaron win it on your, you know, on your show before too. And I absolutely adore her. Like I didn't find her until she started doing the Learning to Flip series. Cause you know, the majority of her content before that was all STEM related.
That's right.
And so I found her, and again, jealous that she's in your area, because like I can't wait, you know, I want to meet her.
So we're both going to be, you know, here's Aaron. She is on a ship right now.
I knew that. And, yep. For 2 months, I believe.
We are on January 6th. Here's a plug for our January 6th stream. Aaron is going to be live streaming with me from the ship, and I'm zooming her into OBS. And it's going to be awesome. And she's going to commentate side by side with me on it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Is that
incredible? I love that.
I have technical people much brighter than me working on this situation to work on that. But we're all going to be like, we knew Aaron when, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you all did. I didn't. But
she is so, wow, she's amazing. Her husband.
Yeah, she's great.
And we've become very close with them, and they're fantastic. So,
Anyway, so what I was saying is, like, you know, I see creators like Aaron who, you know, they have absolutely amazing videos. And what I have found is if I spend a lot of time and effort into making a video, it never does well. But like the ones where I'm like sitting on my, and like Erin is so well organized with all of her content creation, whereas me, I'm just like sitting on my couch. I'm like, oh, I'm going to make this video. And I go in and make it and I post it. And like, I have found that those ones that I put like the least amount of effort in are usually the ones that do really well. And so I go through this kind of like existential crisis of like, do I really want to like, you know, plan out my week of this? This is all the content I'm going to film, or
let it come
do in. What I know has been doing really well, and I'm like, well, here it is, and then just post it. And
you know, I think you said earlier that you were trying to find your voice, right?
Right.
And in sales and in recruiting, that's what I do for a living.
Yeah.
I'm teaching people consistently how to find their voice, and so you have found your content creation voice, and it's awesome. It's great.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, one thing that I never try and lose when I create content is that I've never been any more than just myself in anything. Like, I've always said, like, if you meet me in person, as outgoing as I am in my videos, I'm very shy if I have never met you before, but like once you get to know me, it's the same. And so it tends to be, you know, somewhat difficult, because not that I'm saying, like, especially with like the micro, you know, section of like us, of those who are just purely pinball content creators, especially on TikTok, we don't try and be better than anybody else. It's like such a small community that we all try and support as much as we can. And I will be the first person to say I am not the best at it, because I, you know, definitely will go on sprees where I'm like, I'm not going on TikTok for like 3 weeks and I don't go on. Whereas all my fellow creators are posting stuff and then I have to like catch up with other stuff and I try and, you know, like it as much as I can. But I've never been able to stick to like a strict schedule when it comes to, you know, posting content because, you know, the inspiration for me, content creator wise, always comes like at the spur of the moment. I'm like, oh, I have this video I want to do, or, oh, I hear a sound and I'm like, ooh, I could turn that into this. And, you know, yeah, I have some things that I'll post. Like I just posted my gauntlet run from Cincinnati, and that's something I do every year. So like, I always know I'm going to post about that. But I, for the most part, has just always been, when anybody asks me like, well, what's the secret to TikTok? You're doing really well. I'm like, I don't know. I just do stuff. And so I guess my secret has always been just be yourself. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter what equipment you're using. It doesn't matter how much effort you put into it. The only thing that matters is if you're creating content that you genuinely enjoy and that you yourself would watch, you're going to build a community that's going to be a lot stronger than having one viral video that gets you like, you know, 10,000 subscribers, because you're going to have a much more loyal fan base than people who saw one video and liked you from it and, you know, may not come back because of it.
I think you do it too. It brings you joy.
And exactly.
If it doesn't bring you joy, don't do it anymore.
And exactly.
I'm the exact opposite of you. I like doing this. What I mean by that is I'm the same person.
Yeah.
So when people come up to me, I am geeking that they're even coming up to me. I'm laughing.
Yes.
Why do you even want to talk to me?
I think the same thing too.
Like, if you want a picture of me, that's ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous. I'll take it, but why would you want that? I mean, come on. Let's just have fun. Let's just have a conversation. And, but, you know, I love doing this. I wanted to be on the radio when I was a kid and mm-hmm. Went to college to do it. And it just didn't work out for me. I never went down that path. And then I did this soccer podcast for this shirt that I'm wearing right now called Celtic. And we got like 10 to 20,000 downloads a week when we did these podcasts.
Yeah.
And then it just faded away like things do. And life got in the way and have kids. And, you know, you
right.
And you go to lacrosse games. And then when we started doing this during COVID in 2000, right before 2020 is when we started the wormhole. Tim was like, because he used to like my soccer podcast. He goes, dude, just do this.
Yeah.
You're good at it. Just do it. And that was it. And little by little, a little acorn is growing and we're doing something great. So we're having fun.
I mean, you've got like 8,000 subscribers on YouTube, so you're doing something right.
Well, yeah, that might have been a little bit with a Labyrinth reveal with Aaron Winnick. That might have helped us a little bit.
But still, you know, I've been doing YouTube for, you know, 5-6 plus years now, and I'm only at like 470 people. So like, no,
fun,
granted,
right?
But here's so exactly. And so like, that's where, and I think that's where, like, as a content creator, a lot of people can fall into this hole and get really defeated because they see the success of everybody else. And they're like,
right.
Well, I'm doing the same thing. Why can't I, like, you know, do well? And I've always tried to tell myself, I can't compare myself to anybody else. And like you said earlier, I don't do this to get the followers, to get the, you know, views, to do whatever. I do this because it's a release and it's something that I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
So if 4 people think my video about, you know, people who add more than one player when you're at a pinball show and they're the only person and there's a whole long line waiting behind you to play this game thinks that it's funny, then that's 4 people that, you know, I reached out to. And it's, for me, it's more about, like, you know, I've had people say, hey, if it wasn't for your videos, like, I wouldn't be the player that I am today. And
yeah,
I'm like, that's great,
because
I'm not a great player either, but I'm really glad
thank you, that
awesome.
Was important to hear from you, that
you know,
was good feedback. Yeah,
exactly. And so
I don't see even you if it's, being the type of person that would go to Expo with one of these cameras and then like get up on someone and bother them while they're playing and getting in their view or doing crap like that.
No, because unfortunately, Expo is where I volunteer, and I literally spend most of my time in the tournament area between playing and volunteering. So I pretty much just work at Expo.
Talk to me about competitive. You've been playing competitively for a little while, right?
Yeah, about 8 years, yeah.
What's your favorite highlight there?
At Expo or just in general?
No, just competitive pinball. Let's switch topics to competitive pinball. Sure. Give me a good highlight that you go back and as a fond memory.
So
it doesn't have to
I
be
think,
winning either.
No, I understand that. I think one of my highlights was actually this year. I was an alternate for Women's Worlds, and I was the only alternate that showed up. And so if somebody didn't show up, I would have gotten to play. Unfortunately, I didn't get to play because the majority of the women that got to play in Worlds are competitors that I play against and are friends of mine. And okay. So it was one of those things where like I would have felt guilty if somebody didn't show up on time who was a friend of mine, that I'm like, ooh, I really wanted you to compete. And I got their spot because they weren't there on time. So I was just enjoying the experience of being able to go to the Women's World Championship.
Wow, that's great.
And just, even though I didn't play, I got to hang out. I, you know, made some new friends, got to padiddle around Chicago. Like it was a lot. So like that was probably one of my favorite highlights of pinball in general, is being able to have the opportunity to do that. And awesome. It was just a lot of fun. And I would recommend it. I'd recommend it to anybody.
Talk to me about Bells and Chimes, because we're huge supporters of the Houston Bells and Chimes and Elizabeth Drone, and she runs it here and with Rally Palace and so many more women. I don't want to leave them out, but what do you love about Bells and Chimes?
Yeah, so Bells and Chimes is actually where I got my start at. So when I first started going into the competitive scene again, like 8 years ago, I was very intimidated because I had never played in a competition or never, you know, played in the league, done anything before. All I had done is just very casual location playing. And I wanted to play competitively, but I didn't know where to start. And I didn't want to make a fool of myself because I don't know what I'm doing. And so I reached out to Bells and Chimes in Cleveland, which is where I was living at the time. And I was like, hey, I'm new. Like, you know, what is this about? What do I need to do? And they actually were just starting, I think, their third season. And
that's good timing.
It was like all the stars aligned, or, you know, and I came to their first league and again, didn't know anybody. And they were just so welcoming, cheering each other on. Even though they were competing against each other, I'm like, what is this world that I like just walked
into?
Right? After league was over, like we all walked to one of the, because at the time the place that we played at didn't serve alcohol. We walked to like a local bar after and like all sat and like chat together. And, you know, again, I was in Cleveland, so I had a little bit of a drive from where I lived at, but I'm like, wow, like this is nothing like I had ever experienced before. And so I think that's what I really like about not just Bells and Chimes, because there's a lot of women's leagues out there that are not associated or, you know, I don't want to say aligned, but they're not like they're still women's leagues. Yeah, they're still women's leagues, but they're not necessarily a Bells and Chimes chapter.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of women's leagues out there that, you know, support or just have this, it's different. And even my boyfriend has been like, you know, because he's gone to women's only tournaments with me. He plays pinball too. He's not quite as competitive as I am, but he plays as well. And so he's gone to open tournaments. He's gone to women's tournaments with me. And every single time we leave a women's tournament, he's like, it's such a different vibe. And I'm like, it's a way different vibe.
Yeah.
Than playing in an open. Like, yeah, when you get to, you know, some of the bigger tournaments, there's still a lot of competitiveness, but like the support, I think, that is so different from an open. I still try and be as supportive as I can when I'm playing in an open tournament. If anybody who played with me at the Sanctum last year and was in the last group in every single round from midnight on till it ended, I am the number one cheerleader for everybody, because you know what? Somebody's got to get last. If it was me, don't care. Still going to cheer everybody on. And so I think it's just like, it's such a different vibe because there, and again, I don't want to say there isn't cheering and supportiveness. There's still 100%
It feels different, right?
It feels different. I think that it's great. It's awesome. And I try and bring that energy to every tournament that I play in, not just in a Bells and Giants tournament.
As a streamer, as a pinball streamer, I think we need more women's tournaments streamed. And that's just me, because a few weeks ago when I interviewed Jim and Dina, they had a filter that they would put up on a camera if someone did not be filmed.
Okay.
And we're fooling with that here, because what I don't want is a Bells and Chimes or a women's event here where that woman does not feel, or non-binary does not feel comfortable having their face on the camera. So we're going to do something like that here in Houston, because I don't, that's the last thing I want, right? When you come to the Wormhole, you're streamed. And we announced that during, you know, the announcements of the tournament. But if you don't feel comfortable, I want them to come to me and just say, Jamie, is there something, what can you do? Can you do a wide view? Can you do an overhead view and not do my face? I don't feel comfortable with this. And we're going to work on that, because I want them to feel, I want everyone coming in here feeling comfortable.
Yeah, and that's usually if I'm running a tournament and I know it is being streamed, like I always do make a point to make an announcement that like, hey, this tournament is going to be streamed. If you don't feel comfortable, please come to me. Like, you don't have to say it to everybody else. You can say it to me personally, and we'll make sure to make sure we accommodate that.
I love it.
And there are ways to, like, even if you don't have the filter on the camera, if you're using OBS, you can just turn that off.
Yeah, I can turn it off with OBS. One of the cool things is that we have this hanging monkey, and we call it monkey cam, and I'll just put monkey cam on and it'll show the room, right? Or I'll just do whatever I have to do to make someone feel comfortable, we're gonna do it. So big tournaments in 2024, do you have some in mind?
I've been thinking a lot about it, because I always do it, you know, at the beginning of the year. I always try and set my pinball goals. Like, what are my, I always do like 5 pinball goals. And unfortunately with 2023, I didn't set them this year. And I don't know why. I remember being like, oh, I'm going to make a video about it. And then I'm looking at my cork board and I'm like, huh, those are still the 2022 goals. So I guess I didn't set 2023 goals for myself. And so I think this year, one of my big goals is that I want to chase the fun tournaments. So like, I want to go to tournaments where I think I'm going to have the most fun at. Not necessarily, you know, defining that, you know, oh, if I don't go to this one, it's not going to be fun. But I'm like, where can I go that I know I'm going to have a really great time?
Yeah.
Because of, one, it's a place I've never been to before. Two, it's maybe a place I haven't been to in a while. That format looks really interesting. And so I know that one thing this year that I'm really trying to do, and I'm really looking forward to hopefully doing, is I want to do the Pinball Olympics.
I've heard really great things.
Yeah, I've heard for years, all the years going to Expo again since 2019, and I've heard so much good stuff about the Pinball Olympics that I'm like, this is the year. This is the year that I'm going to do it. And I got to experience one of the machines that was at the Pinball Olympics when I was in Chicago about 2 weeks ago. And after experiencing just that one machine, I was like, I got to go. Like, I have to go, because this is absolutely amazing. So I'm looking forward to that one this year.
Serious, serious question here. Headphones or no headphones when you're playing?
I am a headphones person.
You're a headphoner.
I am a headphoner.
Are you a glover? Yes. Do you wear gloves?
I'm not a glover. No, okay. I'm not a glover.
Listen, ladies and
Danny gentlemen, Glover and I are not related.
I'm not disparaging the glovers, okay? Wesley Johnson is a glover, okay?
Chris,
these are guys in Houston that are glovers, and they swear by it.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I have a couple of friends that also, I have a couple of friends who are glovers. I have a couple of friends who are headlighters too.
We have a headlighter.
They're
here.
They're headlampers too, yeah, who also swear by it.
Pin shades?
I have not yet met anybody who's a pin shader.
Glasses.
Yeah.
This is why I'm ranked 2,200 in the world. I don't wear headphones and I don't have gloves.
I couldn't do pin shades. Like they would have to fit over top.
I know the struggle.
You know, and that's when everybody jokes, like when they're like, "Oh, let's make it a challenge, play with one hand behind your back." I'm like, "I'll just take my glasses off because I'm blind." Like that's gonna
What are you
make
listening
me...
to? What can I guess?
You can guess.
So Erin's a metal girl. I'm going to go like classic rock. I'm going to say Led Zeppelin. I think you're listening to Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, that's a good guess. That's actually one of the areas where Erin and I bonded, because Erin and I listened to similar music when we were playing as well.
Wow.
So I started off for the longest time listening to Lindsey Stirling, who is a hip hop violinist, because it had no words to it. Like I didn't want to listen to something that I knew, because I, or like that had words that I could follow, because I felt like I would be distracted by the words that were on there. So I was listening to her for the longest time. And then if I got to a point, because everybody gets to a point either in a tournament or in the night where you're like, I don't care, I'm giving up, I switched to Tech N9ne, which is like what I would like to call like chopper rap, I believe is the definition for it. So I listened to Tech N9ne, and then I recently, within the last year, tried to, you know, go, you know, I listened to Einstein Kills. I got really into them, and I switched to listening to them when I was playing, and I was like, "Ooh, I really like this." So that's who I listen to. I have a pinball playlist that I specifically listen to while I'm playing.
I can't decide. I've tried it. And I just can't listen to music when I'm playing. And you know what I do, which drives people, I think no one will tell me because they're too sweet, but I commentate on my own playing.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that's what I do, right? I commentate pinball. So I'll be playing dialed in and I'm like, are you going to hit this phone or what? Like I'll strap up.
Yeah. There's.
But I'm not being like, I'm not hammering myself. I'm just like, all right, come on.
Yep.
Let's hit this.
Yeah.
And I can hear people laughing, but I don't care. It's just, I still think I'm new at pinball and I started in 2019. So I still like the new moniker of competitive pinball.
Yeah.
My biggest issue, let's talk about this. Like what are you working on game wise for a competitive pinball player? And pinball players alone that are listening to this, I am working on dead bouncing unbelievably. I have a Mandalorian in my house right now to dead bounce. I need a stern dead bounce. What are you working on in your game?
Yeah. So the one skill that I have yet to master is the live catch or the drop catch. That is one that it is a toughie, and like the only game where I can successfully and consistently do it at is Stern Star Wars, the new one. Okay. And so that is one skill that is very difficult to do and is the number one requested video on my TikTok. Is everybody wants the tutorial on how to do the live catch.
How do you drop catch?
Yeah, how do you drop catch? How do you live catch? And I'm like, 99% of the time when I do it, it is 100% accidental. And I don't know what I did to be able to do that. So that's one of the skills that I've been trying to do and learn how to do consistently.
Yeah.
Has been taking a very long time to do that.
Absolutely. I'm going to give a shout out to Carpool Pinball, their new streaming. And Garrett Shahan there is one of the top players in Texas, top three. And he is phenomenal at this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever want to go watch him on, you can check him out on Twitch at Carpool Pinball.
I get so jealous of the people that can do it so effortlessly. They make it look so easy.
Away at it. I'm also blown away. So that is my second thing that I want to work on is live cast.
Yep.
My third is nudging. I'm really good at nudging on the sides.
Yep.
Unless it's Star Trek Next Gen, and when it goes to the right, you're done.
Yeah,
right?
Well, what are you going
to do? Nothing. You're just going to laugh.
Exactly.
You're going to move on.
Yep.
So but if you watch these really, really great players, so you're talking top 100 in the world.
Yep.
Anything that touches the side, they're moving to the middle. They don't want anything. They want it in the middle so they can control it.
Yep.
And they're amazing at that. So I would say that my game got good. I was in the below 2000, and then I'm in this transition in 2023 where I'm like, I have got to work on these three things.
Yep.
If I want to get 1500.
Yep.
I'm not going to learn every rule set like they do. Okay. I just don't have the time, and I'm married and I love her and I want to stay with her. I just do. I've already spent too much time doing this stuff. Like I can't be a great pinball player, right? This is not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I love competing and I just want to get better for myself. So, you know, anyway, sorry. I'm curious with players like ourselves, like, how do we take that next step? And I think you're totally right. I think it's those three things.
Yeah. And that's like a lot of the core videos that I think when my channel started to pick up a lot was doing those tutorial videos of how do you post pass? How do you dead bounce? You can.
No,
you can do it.
Post pass like that. Just going back. No problem.
Yeah, toast passing.
It's the dead flip, dead one.
Yeah, where you dead bounce?
No.
Or shatsing is the other one that I'm not really good at. Yeah, shatsing is,
never
and
happen.
So, but the thing of it is, it's just like that's what a lot of people say. And like a lot of people that comment, so like when
I can eventually get there. But
exactly. And it's all about practice. Journey, right? It is a journey, and it's not something that's going to happen overnight. And I think that's something that's really hard for me is that I love that instant gratification of like, I can do this, but when I can't do it, I get very frustrated. Yeah. And so, you know, pinball is a game of skill. We all know that. And there is a little bit of luck that happens to be thrown in there, but if anything, it's a game of skill.
Yeah.
And
it's
just
not
like
a coincidence,
any of
the same top five people at your local tournament are at the end almost every time. It's not a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. And just like anything where you want to build up skill, how do you do that? You practice.
You have to practice.
And there's going to be a learning curve, and you're going to get frustrated, and you're going to do really well, and then you're going to do really bad, and then you're going to be frustrated again. And so it's one of those things, just like, again, with any hobby, you got to practice it. And like, you're not going to be the best at it at first, but the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it.
You know, one of the problems, my particular last problem for me is I spent so much time here that I'm really good at these games. Right.
Yep.
That when I go and play somewhere else and, you know, let's say they have whatever, doesn't matter, a Whirlwind that I haven't played in a while, I'll be like, I know Whirlwind, but I haven't put this Whirlwind. Let me see what I can do. I know it really well, but it's just the level of knowledge that these top game players have. Not only can they move the ball, all these things, they know everything to do on Earthshaker. They know it. And how can I compete with that? Because I just don't know that if I hit this thing, that it's going to be 10 times bonus and all this. And they're looking at me going, you don't know.
Well, and so I can very much relate to exactly what you said. And this is what this is what at least I told myself when you say, how can I compete with these people? And the answer to that question, at least for me, is I can't.
Okay.
So what am I going to do? I'm just going to have fun.
I'm
going to learn something.
Unbelievable epiphany.
Yeah. I said, I'm never going to be able to compete. I'm never going to be top 10, top 100, probably even top 1,000 in the world.
Right.
And what do I do instead? I learn from these players. Like when I was at Expo, this year. I was going to say last year because we're, you know, slowly approaching it. Almost. Yeah, when I was at Expo this year, Colin was playing in a game where I was doing my qualifying for the women's tournament, and Venom was in there. I had no idea how to play Venom. I just watched him put up, you know, 700,000 on Venom. And so I was like, Colin, what do I do? How do I play this game? And he gives me a couple of, you know, tips, and, you know, yeah, it helped me. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to learn from them. I'm just going to,
absolutely.
How can I make this be more fun for me? Because I know I'm never going to compete on that level.
I love that attitude.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, I started playing pinball because I wanted to have fun. It's a release after work for me, and it's something that I enjoy doing. And the minute that it doesn't become fun anymore is the minute that I know I'm done. Because it always should be about having fun.
For those that are listening that are not competitive pinball players, let me just pitch it to you this way as well. This is one of the most accepting groups that you're ever going to meet. They, pinballers, when you walk through that door, when you walk through the door at the Wormhole, the first person you're going to meet is me or John Spates, and we want to know how you got here. How'd you find us, right? We have 35 people here on a Monday for a 3X, all right? That's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're so happy you're here. Just have fun. You know, there's no banging machines here. That's a rule. We have a strict no-jerk policy. You don't bang machines. You can tilt, but if you rage tilt, you're probably gone.
Yeah.
Right? We'll give you one more. But because these aren't our machines. These are Tim and John's machines.
Yeah.
And this is a gift. We don't charge. We charge $15 on a Monday for you to come in, and it's mostly for the prize pool.
Wait, which I have something I want to ask you.
Yeah.
That after you go ahead.
Okay, no worries. But I mean, I'm just saying, it play competitive. There will be one person in this group, I guarantee you, that will go, here, let me show you how to download next.matchplay.com. Let me show you what to do. Stand here so nobody does this. Let me show, and they'll walk you through it, and then you'll be hooked. Talk to Aaron's husband, Alex Anthony. The man is absolutely hooked. He's playing now, and his hockey game is taking a dive for it.
Oh, no!
He loves It is what it is, Jen. So go ahead. Question for me.
So it wasn't until 21. 21 was the first time that I had ever gone to play pinball in Texas. And being again from I'm in Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a huge shock to me. The first place I went to go play pinball when I was in Texas. I was in the Dallas area, and I went to Free Play. And I remember walking in and asking, you know, I paid my admission in, and I was like, where's your change machine at? And they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, I need to play my coin drop. And they're like, no, all the games are on Free Play. I'm like, I paid $10. How long does that get me? And they're like, well, as long as you're here. I'm like, $10? And everything's on Free Play?
That's forever long for them, isn't that? Yeah.
That wasn't the only one that I went to. Like, I went to multiple different, like, even not even because I know Free Play has a couple of them. Cidercade has a couple, but then I went to a place in Austin that had the same thing, and I believe Pinballs is the same way. I haven't been to Pinballs, but I think it's like, hey, you just pay this admission to get in, and everything's on Free Play.
Pinballs. I don't remember.
Yeah, and I thought it was such a weird concept that every single arcade that I went to in Texas was you just pay to get in and everything's on Free Play, even the pinball. Like, the arcades around here, I pay, like, there's no admission, but, like, the cabinet games are on Free Play, but pinball is still coin drop.
Mm.
And from what I was told is, I guess, that the gambling laws in Texas are different. And, like, technically with pinball, it's gambling because you could win a free game. Right at the end of the machine. So the like laws behind that, or this,
I love it here, but we do.
I could be completely wrong.
It's probably true. Who the heck knows, Jen?
Yeah,
things in Texas. What goofy?
Yeah, and so I just,
as a New Yorker, well, there's some goofy stuff here.
But I really enjoyed that, though. Like, I liked being able to pay, like, hey, here's my $10 to get in, and I don't have to worry about having, like, quarters with me.
Yeah.
And, like, I realize, as somebody who does play pinball a lot, you know, $10 to be there for 5 hours, I'm going to get my $10 worth. So, like, I wouldn't even mind if they were like, after 2 hours, hey, you got to pay another $10. I'm like, perfect, take it. That's fine. Because I would have spent way more anyway on coin drop that I usually do whenever I go to like the arcades that are around me. So I really like that model of, hey, you just pay to get in and then all the machines are set.
Yeah, we pay $25 or $20 on a Saturday 4X, $15 on a Monday. We have a max match play and a 3X and come in. And, you know, when you're knocked out, you can keep playing. Just don't play again. Right. You know, don't play heist while they're playing it in the tournament. That's all we ask. Or don't.
I still haven't played Final Resistance yet.
Oh, I'm Final so Resistance. Sad.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to play that yet.
We're thinking about getting it and putting that as a tournament game instead of heist, because the crane has given us some issues. And
but heist is a fun game though. Like I like fun. Heist.
It's fun.
I like that. I mean, I also like Barnyard.
Yeah.
Barnyard is a great after the tournament's done game.
No, like, the only thing that you play after the tournament is done in Dungeon Door Defender.
Oh, but that's
it's a one player, and that's all you do. You just Dungeon Door Defender it. That's my favorite game in the.
That's why I like Barnyard. Is you just, you know, it doesn't matter. Just run over.
It is. It is. It's
Barnyard's fun.
It is fun. Jen, thank you so much. What a great! I had a really a lot of fun. This was just a great conversation, and that's what my podcasts are. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Please follow Jen Ruper on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram. And I have it written down up here.
I mean, you can literally just search Pinball Jen on any of those platforms and you will pull me up.
Look at you, did it for me. Follow Wormhole on Twitch at Wormhole Pinball and all of the socials. This podcast is going to be up in a few days, actually, whenever you can download podcast media. I just put one up yesterday of Don's Pinball podcast, Don Garrison. So I'm going to give it a couple of days. So I think we'll do Thursday, if that's okay with you.
Tomorrow?
Post this up tomorrow.
Well, also the holidays are coming up. So, like, don't feel rushed to, like, I know it's your platform. You can do whatever you want. But,
what
like,
do you think,
the holidays.
Friday? Put it up Saturday? Or put it up tomorrow? Put it up tonight? What do you think? It's your call. You decide.
Not my call. It's not my content. Don't take. I don't know what I'm doing on content creation. So.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm not making any money. Are you making any money?
Oh, heck no. No way.
I can guarantee you there's only one person in pinball that's making any money, and it's not the two of us. So I can assure you of that. Jen, thank you so much for taking the time to meet with the Wormhole virtually. I really, really have enjoyed this, and you have to come to Houston. All right? We're going to be a destination. And you'll love this place. The minute you walk in, you'll just be blown away. I'm telling you.
I'm excited. So I guess if I make the trip down to San Antonio, then I might as well just go to Houston on there too. So
now you have my contact information. We'll open this up for you.
Okay. Yeah. So, but thank you so much for having me again. I was super excited to be here, Jamie. Like, I really, really appreciate it. Love all the content that you post as well. So just keep at it.
You too. Pinball Jen. You too. Thank you so much. You take care.
Bye.
Bye.